Okay, the Ezes Hashem, tonight's discussion is about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem in the workplace, which is so critical because it is relevant to every single person. We're going to talk about what is really a Chov Kadosh, a sacred duty and obligation, if you will, to represent the Borei Olam in the professional world, in the workplace, as a Ben Torah. I'm going to try to underscore the significance of that role that each and every one of you will play, regardless of what profession you pursue. This is ultimately what your focus is going to be all about. Let's begin with the famous Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Hey, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. A very interesting language. The Rambam says, Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire family of Israel, is mitzvah, is commanded on Kiddush Hashem. And Rambam quotes the pasuk of B'nikdashti B'sof B'nei Yisrael in Parshas Amor. So the first question, which Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and his Emes LeYaakov HaTorah raises in Parshas Amor on this Rambam, is a very strange lashon. Kol Beis Yisrael. Rambam rarely uses that phrase, Kol Beis Yisrael. Usually he'll say that a certain mitzvah is obligatory for anoshim, noshim, not ketanim, yes ketanim. What's this lashon, Kol Beis Yisrael? The entire Jewish home is mitzvah on Kiddush Hashem. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yaakov, the lashon apostolic, v'nikdashti v'sof b'nei Yisrael. What would you expect the pasuk to say? New? Somebody? Anybody?
So, Beis Yisrael.
So the Beis Yisrael is Rambam's lashon. Rambam says Kol Beis Yisrael. He doesn't say Anoshim V'Noshim. Thank you. He says Kol Beis Yisrael. Furthermore, asks Rabbi Yaakov, the pasuk V'Nikdashti V'Sof B'nei Yisrael. The pasuk is looking to tell me that I have a chiv in Kiddush Hashem. What should it have said? V'Kiddashti Hashmi. You know, directive. Do it. V'Nikdashti is dictum. I know that is strong for some of us, but V'Nikdashti, passive. I will be made holy. Very strange lashon. What's the pshat? Why is the pasuk use the passive to speak of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? So those are Yaakov's two ha'aros on the pasuk and on the Rambam. The nikdashti in the passive and Kol Beis Yisrael, also very strange formulation. So Yaakov is a fascinating chiddush. Yaakov says that perhaps that the pasuk and what the Rambam are emphasizing, starting with the pasuk first, is that the ikur of Kiddush Hashem is even more than what you do. The ikur is the result, what happens from what you do. What Kiddush Hashem is all about is what is the impact, what is the consequence, what is the result of how you act, how you conduct yourself. And even if you might not have thought, oh, this is not such a terrible thing to do, but if the result and the consequence is Kiddush Hashem versus Chil Hashem, that's what's so critical. The Torah is emphasizing the nikdashti, be sensitive to the passive ramifications, so to speak. You are responsible for the result of your actions. That's the yisod of Kiddush Hashem. Think forward. Don't just look at what you're doing. Look at the result of what you're going to do. Look at the reaction, at the consequence, at the result. That's what the Torah is emphasizing. The nikdashti, even that which, so to speak, passively results from your actions, you're responsible for that as well. Rav Yaakov suggests further that perhaps that's why Rambam uses the lashon of Kol Beis Yisrael. Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire Jewish family, what does that seem to include? Even what? Tanim, even children. Once you're not talking about a direct chiv of action, you're talking about a result, perhaps then, says Rav Yaakov, you're responsible even for the result of what your children do or don't do. That's an astounding chiddush. That you're responsible for the Kiddush Hashem or Chil Hashem of your children's actions as well. That's why, says Yaakov, the Rambam speaks of Kol Beis Yisrael, and the pasuk speaks of passive. The result is the focus. And Yaakov, just as an aside, suggests, based on this Rambam, a fascinating ha'ara. As you may know, in the late 1000s, 1100s, during the Christian Crusades, there were terrible massacres of Jewish communities, as we read in the keynotes not too long ago. Speyer, Mainz, Worms, 1096, Shavuos time, Iyar Sivan, terrible massacres of Jews by Christian crusaders who demanded baptism or death. And what was so striking or surprising or startling or shocking or whatever description you want to use for it, was that many of these Jewish communities, the Jews chose death over baptism, but not just death at the hands of the Christians, even death meaning suicide, and more so, in many cases, Jewish adults slaughtered their own children to prevent them from being baptized by the Christians. There is such a sad tshuva by the Maharam de Rotenburg, where he was asked by a Jewish man who had slaughtered his wife and children because he heard that Christian crusaders were approaching, and he was preparing to commit suicide. At the last moment, the Christian crusaders were turned away, and the community was spared. And he asked the Maharam, "Do I have tshuva for killing my children and my wife, thinking they're going to be baptized?" Such a sad, sad shiloh. The Maharam says, "If you had asked me about the hetter of suicide to avoid baptism, that I can find that you sowed for a hetter for, but to ask me for a psak on whether you're chayav and liable for tshuva for having murdered your wife and children, that," says the Maharam, "is a very difficult shiloh." And this was a discussion that we shown him in subsequent centuries, where Jews who massacred, slaughtered, killed their own children justified in doing so to avoid their being baptized by the Christians. Such a terrible shiloh to ask. Very, very sad shiloh. Maram himself points to the kinos, one of the kinos, Amarti Shu'u Meni, Ben Eponymous, composed a kino where he speaks in very complimentary terms of those who acted in such a way. And Maram says, you see from Ben Eponymous' kino that he viewed this positively. But as the aside of Yaakov says, perhaps this is the yisod of the heter. Perhaps the heter is that when it comes to Kiddush Hashem versus Chil Hashem, even Kitanim are subject to it because it's the result. So even if there's no chiyuv of Maisa Mitzvah on Kitanim, but if as a result of Kitanim being baptized as the Chil Hashem, then there's a heter to kill even the Kitanim to avoid that Chil Hashem. That's what Yaakov did in this Rambam. But I mention this as an opening because it sets the stage for how careful one has to be when it comes to Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. Results that might have been unanticipated. I didn't actively do something, but as a result of what I did, consequence of what I did, there's a Chil Hashem or a Kiddush Hashem. That's also so critical when it comes to this mitzvah versus this isra of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. Rambam then continues in Halacha Beis. Actually, in Halacha Aleph still, the Rambam says, Ketzad, how is one Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? What's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? Says the Rambam, what's the example he gives? Ketzad, what does it say? When a guy tries to force a Jew to violate one of the mitzvahs Amuras B'Torah, what's the din, says the Rambam? What does it say? Yavor Ba'al Yehareg. And then, Halacha Beis, B'Medvar Mamurim, by Shar Mitzvos. But the Gimel Chamuros, Avodah Zarah, Gimel Ashvet Hashem, and there we say what? Yehareg Ba'Yavor. So my grandfather, Ron Soloveitchik, that's how I once pointed out, very strange formulation in Rambam. It begins by saying, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzvah Ha'Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. Everyone's mechuyav in Kiddush Hashem. Ketzad, what is this? How is this? How did you do Kiddush Hashem? What would you expect him to say first? Vayavar. That's the Kiddush Hashem. Yet what does he do first? First he says, Ketzad, Yavar Ba'Yahar, by every mitzvah except for these three. That's your example of Kiddush Hashem, Yavar Ba'Yahar. It should be the reverse. It should be Ketzad, how am I Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? If I'm willing to give up my life for the Gimel Chamurus, that's Kiddush Hashem, but that only applies to the Gimel Chamurus, not to the other Taryag. Why does he flip it? Why does he first say Ketzad, Yavar Ba'Yahar? Simple question. What's the pshat? No, what would you say?
If you don't sacrifice
your life, you are over averos by the shor mitzvos. That itself is a kiddush Hashem. Why?
Well, it's the one thing you said. If you mess up on the Yahweh Yahweh, you're probably going to have
okay, so why is it Kiddush Hashem to be over below Neharag? Why is it Kiddush Hashem? I mean, you're right, but why is it Kiddush Hashem to be over below Neharag? Yeah?
Because maybe there's more potential for your Nefesh to have more chances at mitzvahs, but those three are the specific ones that you really like, and those are the most severe ones.
Okay, very good. So what my grandfather suggested was along those lines. He said, what the Rambam is emphasizing is that just as it's a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem to be yahar v'al ya'avor when it comes to Gimel Chamuros, it's also a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem to know when to continue living for the sake of kiyum mitzvos, even at the expense of an aveira right now. But even more so, he added, the Rambam puts this first. This is the first example of Kiddush Hashem. Because of the two examples of Kiddush Hashem, namely, to be yahar v'al ya'avor, give up your life to avoid being v'chal Gimel Chamuros, on the one hand. Or another example of Kiddush Hashem, which is to Yarav al Yehareg, to violate another Aveira, in order to continue living, the greater of the two, what's the greater Kiddush Hashem? Is to live al Kiddush Hashem rather than die al Kiddush Hashem. That was my grandfather's suggestion. The Rambam is emphasizing that it's a greater kiyum of Kiddush Hashem to live al Kiddush Hashem rather than to die al Kiddush Hashem. Both are examples of Kiddush Hashem, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants primarily is to live al Kiddush Hashem before dying al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, with that in mind, live al Kiddush Hashem as a primary focus. That's what we're going to talk about this evening. Move on now to the famous Gemara Maseches Yuma. I felt something open the doors so that I don't feel too guilty about bringing you guys up here to a less air-conditioned room. Yes, please.
How is there al Kiddush Hashem to the person, the guy presumably trying to kill the Jew, when all he sees is it's a Jew that's willing to do anything to survive, even break his own God's commandments?
Kiddush Hashem is also in a person's own avodas Hashem. Doing a mitzvah and avoiding averos for no other reason other than because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so is also a kim of Kiddush Hashem. Living life, it's not dafke in front of God that you can Kaddish Yom Shemayim. That's of course. He has also Kiddush Hashem. But even in one's personal life, even Bitzinah, there's Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem in one's Shemir some mitzvahs and avoidance of averos.
He knows he's done the truth, the real reason he's doing it. Hopefully,
Shem Shemayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. That's why I do the mitzvah, so I won't do the averos. That's also Kiddush Hashem. Famous Gemara Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, get someone who's also that off. The Gemara says, thank you.
He said they don't open.
Really?
Not all of them.
Wait, okay. Back ones are shut, no? Back ones I think do. Okay, if you want. Alright. Gemara Yuma, Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Famous Gemara that speaks of the four chilukei kapara, four different types of kapara. And of course, the yesod of the Gemara is that whereas when one violates and doesn't perform a mitzvah saseh, all you need is tshuva. For a lo saseh, you need tshuva and Yom Kippur. For violating a chiyuv misa, chiyuv kares, you need tshuva, you need Yom Kippur, you need yisurim. And yet, Chil Hashem says the Gemara, Ko ein lo koach b'tshuva litlos, v'lo b'yamai kipurim l'chaper, v'lo b'yisur l'marik. By Chil Hashem, tshuva doesn't help alone, Yom Kippur doesn't help alone, yisurim won't help. They will all combine, only suspend one's sentence, and Misa is what removes or cleans the slate. Chil Hashem, more than anything else, only Misa, combined with Yom Kippur and tshuva and yisurim, will, in the Marek, clean the slate. Why should that be? Why should Chil Hashem, which in the Pasuk is a lav, in general, the Chiyuv Misa, Chiyuv Karis is more chamer than a lav. Why should the Chil Hashem, Isser Derais, a lav of a Los Chal Hashem Kanshi, be so chamer as to necessitate Misa as a means of kapara? Even Chiyuv Karis and Chiyuv Misa's based in isn't so severe in the Gemara Yimah Pei Vav. Why should that be so? So perhaps the pshat is as you see the Mishnah Avos, the Brisa in Kinyan Torah. The Tana says, Kol Masha Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'alamo La Bara El L'Chvodo, which means, in other words, that the essence of Bria Sa'olam, the whole purpose of Bria Sa'olam, is one thing and one thing only, Kvod Shemayim. The whole purpose of creation, the Brisa says, La Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything and everyone only for Kvod Shemayim. Kol Anikur B'Shmi V'Lechvodi V'Rasit. Everything is there for Kvod Shemayim. What the Brisa seems to be saying is that if you ask yourself at the end of the day, bottom line, what is my goal in life? It is one thing and one thing only. Kvod Shemayim. That is it. Kvod Shemayim. Nothing else. That is my focus in life. Cut to the chase. That's how you sum it up. I once heard a beautiful story from Rav Blythe Shlita, Rav Yehuda David Blythe, also known as Rav J. David Blythe. brilliant God of the Torah. Yes, he said it was in English slang. Contemporary halakha problems. Yes, no, maybe so. Yes, brilliant man. Law professor in Cardoza, Rosh Kol of the Yom Yonikol YU. Brilliant Talmud Chacham. So he once told me that the most brilliant man he ever met, so that's like brilliance square now, is Rav Gedalia Shor Zatzal, who was the Menahem Torah Vadas decades ago. Rav Gedalia Shor, I would like to say, was the most brilliant man he ever met. Okay, so that's like really brilliant. And he said one year on Purim Torah Vadas, one of the guys was a little drunk, and he walked over to Rav Gedalia Shor in the middle of Beis Medrash, and he grabbed him by his beard, and he said to him, "What are you doing sitting in that principal's office? You should be giving shir and saying Chidushei Torah." Apparently, Rav Shor had like an administrative responsibility, and a lot of his time was spent running the yeshiva administratively. He wasn't giving a daily blot shir. And this Talmud was saying to him, "You're gon atzum. You are a brilliant Talmud Chacham. You should be saying Chidushim on Shas, giving shir every day." So Rav Shor said to him, "And what's better for the Ribono Shel Olam?" Meaning, in other words, of course I would love nothing more than to give shir and say Chiddush Men Shas all day. But I'm here to run a yeshiva. What does the Kaddish Baruch Hu want of me? What is the best contribution I can make to Kaddish Baruch Hu's world? Is it just me saying Chiddush Men for myself and shir all day? Or is it running a yeshiva that then affords the opportunity to hundreds or thousands of Talmidim and Rebbeim to say shir to learn? What does the Kaddish Baruch Hu want of me? And his whole focus was Kavod Shemayim. Where can I make the most contribution? That was his focus. So perhaps, along the lines of this Bryson Avos, if our purpose in the world and creation is Kavod Shemayim, so look back at the Goranim of Daf Pei Vav. For everything there's kapara. Asay, los asay, chiyav misa, chiyav kara, it's kapara. It takes tshuva, it takes kippur, it takes yisur, there's always kapara. The one avera there's no kapara for without misa is chil Hashem. Why? Because if the whole essence of my creation, if the whole reason I'm in this universe is for one purpose only, which is Kavod Shemayim, and I undermine that very reason for my existence by being Mechal Shem Shemayim, well then there's no cure for that ill except for Misa itself. I have defeated the purpose of my existence. I'm here for Kavod Shemayim, I've defeated that with Chil Hashem, there's no way to avoid anything but Misa. With one exception, the Shaar Tshuva Ben Yonah, Shaar Dalu, famously says there is one solution. Namely what? Shaar Tshuva writes, even though there is no marpe, there's no cure for the Aveir Chil Hashem along lines of other Aveiros, but there is one solution, says Rabbeinu Yom Shaar Tshuva. Em Yazreel Hashem Yisbarach L'Kadesh Taroso. If a Kadesh Baruch Hu assists somebody in being the Kadesh his Torah Neged B'nei Adam, Ulahodia Livne Adam Givuras Hashem Ukvor Hadar Mahusa, and to teach people the Gevura and the Kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only way to counteract the Lashem. So the point we're saying makes a lot of sense. If the whole purpose of my existence is Kvod Shemayim, I defeat and undermine that reason for my existence with Chil Hashem. I have no then cure to that spiritual ill of mine other than Misa. There's one exception, though, namely Kiddush Hashem, because by the Mekadosh Shem Shemayim now I have essentially justified once more the reason for my existence. I've now once more made my life worth living, so to speak. I'm here once again being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim in the way that I live. That therefore gives me a new lease on life. Okay, then look at the Rambam Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Parakei. Okay, so now with that introduction, the Yesod of my existence, the sort of every Jew's existence, is Kavod Shemayim. Is Kavod Shemayim. That means my mission in life is one thing only. Kavod Shemayim, Kavod Shemayim. I have to assess what I do, the decisions I make, by how can I best contribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod Shemayim. Now, Lamashal, whenever I personally would ask an Eitzah from my Rebbe, Rav Meir Tversky, an Eitzah in career decisions. His response has always been to me, where or how do you think you will be better able to be Marbitz Torah or Mekadosh Shem Shemayim? It's always what he tackles that question. Whatever the question is, whatever the decision has to be made, his response always is that one same assessment. How do you think you could best be Marbet's Torah, Marbet Kavod Shemayim? He views every decision in light of that understanding of what we're here for, Kavod Shemayim. So when you make a career decision, what job to take, what job not to take, what community to move to, where will I live, what shul will I daven in, where will I send my kids to yeshiva, where will I go to yeshiva? The soul always has to be, how will I be most matzliach and being Marbet Kavod Shemayim? What job will afford me that greater opportunity to learn more, to share more Torah, to be Mekayev more, to be Mekayev Shem Shemayim? It's always that Yisod. Where will I have that opportunity to be great, be Marbet Kavod Shemayim, more than elsewhere? And to remember, one is always living life with that mission in sight. It's a beautiful story I'll share with you. I heard this from the president of my shul, who was an Israeli-born and Israeli-raised fellow. Told me his oldest brother went to a yeshiva high school in Bnei Brak, and when he graduated yeshiva, his father wanted him to serve in Sahal, and he, I guess on the advice of his rabbi, did not want to serve in Sahal. Okay? For whatever reason, they decide they're going to go to the stipler going to ask him an Eitzah. Now, you might think that you would be able to predict what the stipler Gon's response would be to that question. You're probably wrong, because the stipler met with both this fellow, his last name is Matan, with his father, who wanted to go serve in the army, and with this yeshiva buffer himself. He then told this yeshiva graduate, he said to him, you should go, but remember one thing. So the words he said to him. He said, you're going, but you're on a mission. So the words he told him. You're on a mission. Essentially what he was doing was he was telling this yeshiva guy who didn't want to go serve in the army that go to the army but recognize that whatever you do, you are on a mission. You are living life on a mission. Like we said, the whole existence of one's life is the Shem Shemayim, Kavod Shemayim. This fellow, his name is Matan, his last name was Matan, apparently had protectia. He was drafted into the Israeli Air Force, served in Tel Nof, which is the largest Air Force base in Israel. He said when he got there, now this is back in the probably 1980s already, there were not nearly as many frum soldiers in the Israeli army as there are today, and certainly not in the Air Force, which is always the elite of the elite of the army. He got to this Army Air Force base, and the Rabbanut appointed Mashgiach of the base, who saw a frum guy coming on base, said to him, you should know the kitchen is treif. Because apparently at night, some of the irreligious soldiers who were on patrol or on duty at night would go into the kitchen and cook their own non-kosher meat in the kitchen pots. And after a while, the mashgiach just couldn't keep up with the counseling every single day from the previous night's problems. He finally just couldn't keep up with it. He gave up. He said, I just can't keep koshering the whole kitchen every morning after these guys used it the night before. He told this strong guy coming to the army, he said, the kitchen's treif. Just be aware of that. So this one yeshiva bachur in this Tel Nof Air Force base, together with the mashgiach, decided to make his own little private little kitchenette in a little shack behind the Beit Knesset on base. They cooked their own food there. The Air Force base commander found out about it, wasn't too pleased, he shut it down. Now what? So this yeshiva guy has nothing to eat. Eats fruits, eats vegetables, that's it. Nothing cooked, nothing meat, nothing. So after, I don't know, it was a week or two, he was so malnourished, he just fainted one day. And when the commander found out why he was not eating, he said, okay, you can have your little kitchenette back at the side of the big Knesset, in that little shack. You can have your own kitchen and your own little private meals. So the mashgiach and this one yeshiva guy, every day cooked their own meals, had their own meals in the base Knesset. And over time, more and more of these soldiers were looking on, said, what's going on here? This guy has his own little private kitchen, his own little private sudos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Started asking questions, kosher, what is it, why isn't it? Started asking to join in the meals. And in the long term, what happened was the commander eventually essentially conceded to lock up the kitchen at night, ensure that the kashrus was maintained in that kitchen base, in that kitchen on base, permanently. And this one yeshiva guy ended up being the reason why there was a kosher kitchen on Tel Nof Air Force Base for years beyond. Because he came on a mission, as the stipler told him, insisted on maintaining that mission sense of pride, and was Matzliach, and essentially being mikarev and making a tremendous change in the life of those soldiers on base. Living life on a mission. Moving ahead, Rambam comes to talk about Kelach Yal, famous Rambam. Let's pick out a couple of key lines there. The Rambam speaking about Chil Hashem versus Kiddush Hashem. Writes the following. He says, Kiddush Hashem, says the Rambam, is someone who speaks benachas and abrios, speaks pleasantly to people. Daitimu revesimahem, he interacts well with them. Mikabum sevapanim yapos, he welcomes them with a smile. He doesn't insult them, he respects them, and he's no save be'emunah. He conducts his business practices honestly. That's a key phrase there, because one looks at the Ramban in Parshas Peshalach, Ramban quotes an amazing mechilta on the pasuk which says, "V'hayosha be'enof tase," do what is right in God's eyes. Ramban quotes a mechilta which says, what does that mean? "Hayosha be'enof tase?" Says Ramban, "Zemasa umaton," business. This means whoever conducts his business affairs honestly. And furthermore, says Ramban, people enjoy him. They find him pleasant. Ramban says, the Mechilta writes something incredible. Conducting business affairs honestly and making people have a positive impression of you. It's what in the world? By simply just conducting myself honestly in business and creating a positive impression on people, it's as if I'm mekayem kol haTorah kula. How is that? Why is that? What's pshat? Why should that be? Why is that so critical? No sevilosim be'emuna. It's not just the mechilta. The famous Gemara on Shabbos, the Chacham Aleph, the first thing they ask you, lost in love, based in Shemala. What do they tell you? Whole list of questions. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Chacham Aleph, the Gemara says, and when you come to din, they say to you, "Nasasa binasata be'amuna." It's the first thing they ask you. Did you conduct business affairs honestly? And then afterwards, "Kavati the Torah, asakta peribaribia, tipisa liyeshua." The first thing they ask is, "Nasasa binasata be'amuna." Were you honest in business? That's kilukiyam kalatar kul. Why is that so critical? Why is that so critical? There's a fascinating comment of the Netziv in Hamikdavar, Parshas Kiseitzei. Read the Parshas Kiseitzei, you're familiar with, because it's Parshas Zachar. It speaks of Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech. The Pesukim immediately preceding the Pesukim of Amalek speak about what? Anybody know?
The straight weights.
Correct. Having accurate scales and measurements in business. Ask Sinsip, what's the Shaifas? Moshe Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Kin Tzedek. You have to have honest measurements and weights in business, and then immediately afterwards, Amalek. What's pshat? What's the connection? It says in Sifra, fascinating pshat. So what's Amalek all about? Asher karcha baderech. You know, from the Sifra Machshava, Amalek represents mikre, which means what?
Trickery.
What?
Trickery.
Trickery? More than that, mikre?
Happenstance.
Happenstance. Coincidence. Correct? Coincidence. Meaning, there's no hashkacha pratis in the world. Everything is nature, coincidence, by chance, everything's mikra. Says in Siv, an amazing pshat. He says, someone who's willing to lie in business and to cheat in business suffers from that same lack of emunah as Amalek. How's that? Because if you really think that by cutting corners in business, the weights aren't exactly what they should be, you'll get a few extra pennies per pound every time you make a sale, you're lacking in emunah. Why? Because a Ma'ariv Hashem knows that Mezonosav Ketsuvim Lomir Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Kadosh Baruch Hu determines how much money you make every year. You're going to cut corners to get ahead? Who are you kidding? You're not going to fool God. Do you think that by cheating and cutting corners you'll come out ahead and be a little richer? That says Netziv is what Amalek stands for as well. Everything is Mikra. He says that's why the incredible Gemara Baruch Habash Daf Peches, I think it is. Gemara says, Baruch Habash Peches, Kasha onsham shalmidos yosem in onsham shalarayos. The punishment for false weights and measurements is more chamor than the punishment for arayos. Gimel chamuros, arayos. And worse than that is the punishment for false weights and measurements. How is that shayach? Says that's it because arayos, it's one of the gimel chamuros, but it stems from taiva. unchecked taiva. But weights and measurements, cheating in business, what does that stem from? Lack of emuna. That's under the category of avodah zarah. It's even more severe, a chet, says Netziv, than unchecked taiva, than arayos. Amazing yisod. Cheating in business, says Netziv, reflects a lack of emuna, end of the day. So the first question they ask is, nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. What a strange word, be'emuna. Be'emuna means faith. Why nasasa v'nasata be'emuna? If you want to say, did you conduct business honestly, you should have said, nasasa v'nasata b'midos with proper measurements, however you would say that. You just told us about the wrong phrase to use. Right, midos, I don't know. Accurate midos. Why be'emuna? Teretz is beautiful. Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna means, did you do business with your faith in front of you? Did you do business with faith in God at all times? Because lack of accurate measurements is a lack of emuna. Being makbid not to cheat in business is a reflection of emuna. That I won't come out ahead anyways, because Kadosh Baruch Hu decides what I get at the end of the day regardless. So nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. If you read the biography, A Fire in His Soul, by Amos Bunim, about his father, Irving Bunim. Anybody seen it? Anybody read it? Seen it or read it? Big difference. Seen it's halfway there. Read it? Oh, okay, got work to do. It is an autobiography, but it's not an autobiography. It is an autobiography because it's published by Oscar, but it's not an autobiography because it's a realistic, within reach role model that you can emulate. It's not one of those Tanakh at age 5, Shas at age 10, Shulchan Aruch at age 15, Shuvas for the Gedolei Hador at age 20. It's Irving Bunim was a Jew who was a businessman. He owned a textile business. Simple Jew, gave shir and pirkei avos on Shabbos, but he was an osik b'tzorchei tzibur, and he was a mekadesh shem shemayim. It was some crazy, incredible stories told in that book. But a businessman, simple Jew. He owned a company called Eden Textiles. In 1953, there was a big textile manufacturer, A.D. Juilliard, that was being bought out by United Merchants. And they sold Irving Bunim in 1953 hundreds and hundreds of yards of fabric. And as he looks at his invoice and he looks at the boxes that he got, he saw that the box that contained 338 yards of fabric was labeled as 38 yards of fabric. The box that was labeled 42 yards of fabric really was about 442 yards of fabric. They had left out the first digit of every label. So that at the end of the day, the bill he received was $40,000 less than what he should have paid. 1953, $40,000 could have bought you not just one, but two houses in Kew Gardens Hills, probably. $40,000, 1953. Okay, it was massive amounts of money, $40,000, and they didn't bill him for it. So he figures it was a mistake, they'll catch it. He waits a month, he waits 2 months, nothing. He calls the office of this company, A.D. Juilliard, and he asks, can you tell me what I owe you? And the secretary checks his account. No, Mr. Bunim, you're paid up entirely. Account is closed. So he scheduled an appointment with the president, Bert Valentine, what's the guy's name? Bert Valentine, a meeting for the next day. He goes to this guy's office. He hands him a check for $40,000. He says, today's a Jewish holiday. And Valentine says, Jewish holiday? What holiday is it? He says, today is the day that I have an opportunity to show you what the Torah demands of us Jews in business. And he gives him a check, $40,000. $40,000, 1953. Massive amount of money. He never would have been caught. They had all the records indicating he was fully paid. Never would have known. Al-Pidin, if you look at the Gemara Bava Kama and the Shulchan Aruch that I have on my Makomos, Kolos Akum is Muteres. Avedas Akum is Muteres. Shukrach Paskins, that a Tos Akum is Mutter. If a guy makes a mistake and gives you more money than you deserve, and he would never find out about it, there's no concern of Chil Hashem, Al Pidin it's Mutter. But Mitzav Kiddush Hashem, you have an opportunity to Mekad Hashem Shemayim. How could you pass that up? Perhaps some of you heard the news story earlier this past year of Noach Muroff in Connecticut. Ninth grade Rebbe New Haven. Anybody know who he is? Read about him? Heard about him? Rabbi Noach Muroff, a ninth grade of Connecticut. I met him in Shul, Queens, here on Shabbos. He came here for a Shabbos afterwards. He bought on Craigslist a desk from an older woman in town for his study. As he's moving the desk into his house, it didn't fit into the study door, so he unscrews the top of the desk to get a few extra inches to get through the front door. As he unscrews the top of the desk, a bag falls out from behind the drawer that was stuck between the drawer and the wall of the desk. Contained $90,000. $90,000. Hidden in the desk. The woman sold from the desk. Clearly had no clue the money was there. He called Shmuel Kama asking to ask him, what should I do? Shmuel said, you have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Call the woman, return it to her, and call the news and tell him about it also. So he actually videoed himself calling the woman. You hear the woman on the speakerphone saying, oh my gosh. It was her inheritance that she had hid years earlier. She had forgotten where she had put it. Had no clues in the desk. $90,000 in $100 bills. This young man was then a star on some talk show. Steve Harvey, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, Steve Harvey, thank you, Mandy. Steve Harvey. He was publicly lauded in front of the Steve Harvey audience. There was a story right up in CNN and numerous other media outlets. Massive Kiddush Hashem. Massive Kiddush Hashem. No sin, no sin, b'emuna. And Al-Pidin, you could argue, is mutter, heter gomer. She never would have found out about it. She didn't know about it. Tos Akim was her mistake. He didn't mislead her. She gave him the desk. Could have kept it. But Kiddush Hashem, tremendous opportunity with Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. In the famous Yerushalmi, Bav Metzia, the exact same Maisa described about Shimon ben Shetach. His students purchased him a donkey. And they told him, Rebbe, good news! No more working for you for the rest of your life. The donkey has a diamond necklace around its neck. Shimon ben Shetach asks Tamim, the owner knows about it? They said, no, he doesn't know about it. He said, great, give it back to him. They said, Rebbe, Avedas Akim Mutaris. Everyone holds Avedas Akim as Mutar. Even though Gezel Akim is Asur, but Avedas Akim is Mutar, why don't you keep it? So his response is fascinating. You think I'm a barbaron, he says? What's a barbaron?
Barbarian.
Barbarian? Now stop for a second. Al-Pidin. Tos Akim is Mutar. Avedas Akim is Mutar. Halacha says it's Mutar to keep. Yet Shimon ben Shetach says, I'm not a barbarian, meaning I have an opportunity for a Kiddush Shem Shemayim to do more that's required Al-Pidin, but it's the right thing to do. It's Hayosher Bein Aftasa. It's Nosin Nosin Be'amuna. I'm not a barbarian. So I want nothing more than for Goyim to say Baruch Elokei Yisrael. I want nothing more than Goyim to say blessed is the God of the Jews. Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Fascinating comment in the Smag. The Smag on that din of Avedis Akum Mutter writes that he darshan to the Jewish communities in Spain. He says, we've been in Gaulis for so long. He says, we must seize the midah of MS not to lie, not to Jews, not to non-Jews, to be mekadesh atzmam ach b'mutter lahem, he says. Smag says, I told the Jewish communities in Spain, it might be mutter al pidin, but you have a chiyah to be mekadesh atzmam b'mutter lahem. She quotes the pasuk in Spanish, "Sheiris l'sro lo yasu avla." Jews don't do crooked things. Lo yadar b'chazah, they don't lie. And Smag says, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Golus to gather in the Geirim from the Goyim around us. He says, if we're going to be deceiving them, think they're going to want to come join us? Who's going to convert? If we're viewed as cheats and as deceivers, who's going to convert? You have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim to attract the Goyim to Mibigayr. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating comment of the Smag. I'll give you a simple example. My shul here in Kiryat Hills received a donation back in 2009, and I saved the letter that accompanied the donation because the check that we received was from a Hispanic man living in Manhasset, New York, Samuel Ramos. He sent a very nice donation to Kilas Isha Yisrael. A Hispanic Catholic man in Manhasset sending a donation to Kilas Isha Yisrael with a letter of explanation. Please accept the enclosed donation, which I am making to honor. Anybody here learned in the Tziv last year? The Tziv, are you? I'm making to honor Uri Schneider. Uri Schneider is a fellow of my shul, made Aliyah. Now he lives in Rav Hashemesh. Does some teaching in the Tziv, I think, on occasion, right? This is what he writes. I feel that any religious institution, this is probably a Roman Catholic, most likely, he's Hispanic, is making a contribution to an Orthodox shul. I feel that any religious institution that has a member, that has as a member, a person such as Uri, deserves to be recognized and supported. It's unbelievable. Christian man is saying, any shul, any religious institution that has a member like this man, Uri Schneider, I want to support. Uri has been treating my daughter for speech disfluency. When we discovered that our daughter had this challenge, we were, of course, distraught and afraid. But for everything, there was a purpose, and I believe that for us and for me personally, my daughter's challenge enabled me to meet Uri and to learn many things from him, most of which he wasn't even trying to teach me. Through his example, his thoughtfulness, his gentle manner, I believe I became a better parent. And he goes on to say how speech disfluency is now the easy part. Being a caring and committed parent is the real challenge, and Uri shared his example with me. Simple guy. Ben Torah Oved Hashem. He was Benachas Mabrios, Ruch HaBrios Nof Emenu. He speaks warmly, sensitively. And Mekad Hashem Shemayim. And I mention that because just this year, I got an email from another woman in my shul who told me that she was in Howard Beach, near her in her office. She went to a Chase branch to open a bank account for her young son. The bank officer in Howard Beach sees her zip code, 11367, says, oh, I used to live in Kew Garden Hills. The guy's name was Stefano, okay, not a Jewish fellow. He says, you know, I had the nicest neighbors there. The name was Schneider. When we moved in, they welcomed us. When we had our baby, they gave us advice because they already had kids of their own. He said ever since then, he always looks to see wherever he's going to move that he has neighbors who are going to be as nice as the Schneiders who were living in Kew Garden Hills. One man, just talking benachas and abrios, sensitive, caring, concerned, warm, and not one, I'm sure more than two, one non-Jew after another, has now, years later, still warm, kind feelings towards this individual, towards shuls that this man is a member of, and perhaps towards Jews in general. You never know what you can be mitkadish, shem shemayim, how you can impact people and be marv kavod shemayim in the process.